Why do you believe so many people are so disconnected to the one thing that's keeping them alive, their breath?
Ooh, I have never been asked that question before in all of my days in breathwork. That's a great question. I feel that people are very disconnected in general. We tend to operate in this mode of being very outward facing on the world in survival mode. You know, what are my goals? How can I hit my goals? How can I make sure I'm enough? How can I make sure I earn the money I want to earn? Be the person that I want to be in my life? How can I make sure I appear a certain way? We're so focused on that we are disconnected from our body, we're disconnected from our emotions, we're disconnected from what's actually happening in our mind on a daily basis. And I think the fact that we're disconnected from our breath, the very thing that keeps us alive, just goes to show how very disconnected we are. And one of the reasons that I love working with breath is because it can reconnect us in to all of those things. Breath is the one part of our body that touches our emotional state, it touches our mental state, it touches our physical state.
Personal freedom, bioindividual health, mindset, lifestyle, movement, relationships, happiness. Join me on the journey of optimizing your reality into a happy, healthy, and more fulfilling life. My name is Gary Tirola, and this is Optimize Your Life. What's happening, everybody? Just before we get into the episode, I just wanted to pre-warn you that there's a bit of static noise just behind Victoria's voice. I think it was a bad connection, internet connection between Dubai and Portugal. But I still wanted to drop the episode because there is so much wisdom, so much depth. It's amazing. What this woman is creating in the breathwork community is absolutely profound. And I'm so excited for you to learn so much from Victoria today. So without further ado, let's get at it. What's happening, listeners?
Part
I
of it.
am pumped. I am excited. I cannot wait. I have been, if you've seen on my Instagram, on my social channels, or wherever the case is, you know I love breathwork. I feel that breathwork is what grounds me and pumps me up, and it really sets me apart from those times of anxiety and stress, and it just allows me to rise up into my sovereign self. And that's why this week I'm super excited. I'm welcoming a breathwork specialist, Victoria Bauman. She's pretty much on a mission to help humans heal and evolve with breathwork alone. But I know there's a lot more depth to that. So welcome to Optimize Your Life.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me. So excited to dive deep into everything breathwork.
Oh, I can't wait. And like I said, there's so much more depth to breathwork. Firstly, I would say, let's maybe start with the question: why do you believe so many people are so disconnected to the one thing that's keeping them alive, their breath?
Ooh, I have never been asked that question before in all of my days in breathwork. That's a great question. I feel that people are very disconnected in general. We tend to operate in this mode of being very outward facing on the world in survival mode. You know, what are my goals? How can I hit my goals? How can I make sure I'm enough? How can I make sure I earn the money I want to earn? Be the person that I want to be in my life? How can I make sure I appear a certain way? We're so focused on that we are disconnected from our body. We're disconnected from our emotions. We're disconnected from what's actually happening in our mind on a daily basis. And I think the fact that we're disconnected from our breath, the very thing that keeps us alive, just goes to show how very disconnected we are. And one of the reasons that I love working with breath is because it can reconnect us in to all of those things. Breath is the one part of our body that touches our emotional state, it touches our mental state, it touches our physical state.
That's so true. I feel it like every morning, like even when I don't feel like doing it or don't have energy. Like this morning, I was struggling with energy, and I was like, once I know I tap into the breath, like everything else evolves from there. It's like the first step for me. So it's super beautiful. So I'm sure you got your own journey, and I kind of know bits and pieces of it too. But what was your journey into like the great realization of Victoria and breathwork? Because I'm sure you've had a kind of seemingly normal upbringing, like most people around the world. Maybe if you could just briefly explain exactly like how you grew up and what led you to the stage where you transitioned into breathwork.
I did not have a normal upbringing in any way, actually. Well, what's normal these days? Who knows? I'm Canadian. I grew up in Haiti, though. My parents moved there when I was 4 years old. It's a country in the Caribbean. And it was a very beautiful upbringing, but also very difficult. There was lots of violence. There was a lot of classism, just a lot of separation. So it actually wasn't an easy childhood. And I learned through my childhood to just be strong. Like, that was Victoria. She held everything in. She could get through anything. And I just hardened. And I thought that that was an amazing quality. I thought I was becoming this strong girl, this strong woman, just holding everything in. Nothing can F with me. And
did you do that because you didn't have the support from your parents, or was it just because of the environment?
I think it was a mix of many things. I think societally, I was receiving a message that being a strong woman is a good thing, and a strong woman means that nothing can mess with you. You don't have, you know, emotions. You don't get bothered by things. You can just hold everything in. And then I also did grow up in a household that promoted that. So I think it was influences coming at me from all sides of just, this is how we do it. This is the best way to be. And I was in my teens, I already was starting to be into personal development. I was reading like Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, and trying to get into meditation. And so I started that journey quite young. And in my early 20s, I left my career in philanthropy. I started my coaching business. And I was, I think, 25 years old and was really proud of myself. I'd like started my own business, was this strong woman, you know, would travel the world by myself. But I felt like I had hit such a plateau. Like, nothing was moving in my life. I had just come up against this block. My business couldn't move any further. My level of confidence, like, I had a thin level of confidence, but underneath I was so self-conscious and so hard on myself. And with my relationships, everything was kind of surface level. Like, I had good friends, but we didn't go that deep together. So it's like I had hit this huge plateau in my life. And I was really frustrated because I was so into personal growth. I was like, what's going on? So I tried to meditate more. I tried to use more of my tools, journal prompts, you know, every day. If I just journal my way through this, read more books. I read every self-help book I could. But I still couldn't move through it. And I was living in Bali at the time. And my friends were like, hey, we just went to this thing called a breathwork class. It blew our minds. You have to go, Victoria. I was like, okay, I'll try it. I went. That was a turning point in my life. My first breathwork experience, it was like I rose up and out of my body and I could see my life from a bigger picture. I could see clearly what was happening. I could see why I was so blocked. I was like, of course you're so blocked. You pretend to be confident, but you're so scared to be yourself. How could your business move forward if you're just like hiding behind it? How could your relationships deepen in intimacy if you're afraid to be vulnerable? So in that breathwork session, I saw everything clearly. And I also saw how easy it would be to move through it. I saw where I could go if I let myself move through it. And so I finished that breathwork session with my mind absolutely blown and was just like, first of all, what the F is this breathwork thing? And why has nobody told me about it before? And secondly, how can I start doing this all the time? So that's exactly what I did. I started going to a breathwork class every week for about 6 months, and my life radically changed. Radically. I started posting more about what I wanted to actually say. I started having deeper conversations in my friendships and creating those real deep bonds. I started wearing what I wanted to wear. Like, my fashion style changed just like that. And within 6 months, my whole life was completely changed. So then I made it my mission. I was like, all right, at the time, breathwork was not a thing. People did not know what it was. I would say it to people and they're like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. And so I made it my mission to take it around the world to as many people as possible. And 6 years later, here I am.
Wow. And you sure are doing that. And it's, that's an amazing journey. And like you say, I purposely actually said you probably had a normal upbringing because everyone's like, there's so many different shades of normal in this world. Yes. And we all have different kinds of awarenesses of what is going wrong or going right in our life. And we're always trying to overcomplicate things. And I was actually saying to a coaching client yesterday, I was like, how many personal development books have you read in your life? You know, like how long and how many books did you read until you got into a coaching program with me or until you actually actioned something? Because I think a lot of times we've got all this information. A lot of the information is contradictory. And we still get stuck in that place that you are stuck in where zero self-confidence, wearing clothes that don't resonate your personality, like saying things that like doesn't even sound like you. And it only hurts one person. And it was clearly hurting you the whole time. So it sounds, I mean, I've done a lot of breath work. I've done a lot of plant medicine as well. It sounds very similar, like that cathartic experience that you had. It was very like ayahuasca-y kind of maybe psilocybin-y kind of vibe. What is, for people that actually have no experience with that kind of experience, like they might still be listening to you and thinking, but how? Like, you know, like what is that kind of feeling? You say you saw everything, but like, was it a feeling? Was it actually a vision? What did you experience?
For me, it was a knowing. It was a knowing. And I did also have some visions. I had some visions of myself when I was younger. And this can happen when we do breath work, is we're stimulating the limbic brain, which is the seat of our emotions and our memories. So very often in breathwork, people will recall specific memories that is somehow relevant to what they're experiencing in their adult life. So I did have memories of myself as a child being bullied in school. And I was just like, oh my goodness, of course I'm afraid to be myself. I was bullied. Like I went into protection mode. Why didn't I see that clearly? So I had visions of that. But then I also had visions of myself unencumbered by those insecurities. I could see Victoria, if I would just let those insecurities go, if I could move through that, I could see this expanded version of myself. She looked so relaxed. She looked so at ease, and I connected to her. So it was a mix of feeling a knowing and then also seeing things in my mind's eye.
Yeah. I mean, it's you got the opportunity, the space, I would say, the space and the time to like, let go. And like letting go of that energetic body, I'm sure it not everything changed in that moment. Then it was like work, and it's like layer after layer after layer, and it doesn't just stop there. So how did that work evolve for you? I mean, you experienced this once off, and then was that with Lucas Mack, or like who did you do?
No, it was they were the two friends that
took you,
told me to go to this breathwork workshop. So he wasn't even a breathwork facilitator yet. It was with his name was Russ, and he was just this amazing facilitator in Bali. Amazing. Russ was spreading the medicine.
Amazing Russ
in Bali. Yeah Russ was holding it down. And you're so right that it doesn't all just change overnight. Like we have to get the clues in the breathwork session and then start to implement those. So yeah, it didn't just change after that session. We definitely have to embody the knowing and embody the insights that come through.
So what was your step two? Because your step one was going to the breathwork class, right? Maybe with a little bit of disbelief that this is going to change your life or not even thinking about that. Mm-hmm. So once you got that awareness, what was step two for you to evolve into the beautiful Victoria that you are today?
That's a great question, because I do, like I just said, I think it's so important that we highlight these beautiful tools that we have, like breathwork, and then we also need to highlight the everyday grind of human transformation. And what step two was for me was being courageous enough to act on the clarity that came through. And there's such small things. It's not like some huge grandiose, now I have to finally book that speaking engagement where I'm standing on stage in front of 1,000 people. Like, no, my step two was just those tiny moments in my life where I had fear come up, wanting to hold me back, and I chose to do something else instead. So for example, at that point, I had never done any public speaking. And there was this co-working space that I was working at, and they had every Wednesday, you could submit your name to do, to run a workshop and to be a
amazing,
public
speaker. Yeah. Which one was that?
It was Hubud in Ubud.
Hubud, okay, yeah.
Yeah. And the coordinator that coordinated all of that was sitting next to me at the table. And my heart was beating so fast. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm actually about to submit my name. And everything in my head was like, don't do it, Victoria, don't do it. And then I was like, hey, Vito, here's my name. And I said it so fast. I'd like to submit my name to be the speaker for this week. And he was like, okay, awesome. We'd love to have you. He had no idea how terrified I was. And that moment changed the trajectory of my life, because then I did that public speaking event that week. Mm. That went super well. And then people started coming up to me. Some wanted to work with me. Some wanted to collaborate. And then that led to, you know, snowball effect. So that's one example. Another example is posting on social media what I actually wanted to say. So I would write a post. I'd be about to post it. I'd be like, nah, that's the most vanilla version of what I could actually say, Victoria. You are not posting that. I was like, you're going to edit this and you're going to say what you actually wanted to say.
Yeah.
And again, my heart was beating. I was like, oh my God, this is so terrifying. It feels like you're about to die. I was like, this is over, game over after this. But then I press post, and that starts to change my trajectory as well, because then people start reaching out. Wow, I love what you said. I love what you're about. Can we work together? Da, 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 da. So, and another example, like I just have all these examples of things I started doing. I was at the Bali Vegan Festival, and I volunteered there because I'm a vegan. I wanted to support the movement. And one of the speakers was standing by the stairs. And this was somebody I really looked up to. And I was like, Victoria, just go up and introduce yourself. Just do it. And I was like, no, you can't do that, Victoria. That's nuts. It's so embarrassing. I did it. I introduced myself. And he was like, well, I'm not having dinner with anybody tonight. Do you want to have dinner? And I was like, you are kidding me. So I had dinner with that person. And they ended up connecting me to a few other people. Months later, ended up staying at his place in LA and like connecting to a whole community that just took my career in another direction. So all of this to say, after the breathwork session, it was just a collection of tiny moments of moving through my fear and acting on my knowing instead of my fear, which in the end brought me to who I am now.
That's amazing. It's the awareness. So like, it's almost like to detail it, it's the breathwork brought you the awareness of who you actually are. And it was just the dedication just to do the next step. And I think that's where a lot of people trip up. It's like they won't take the next step until they know step 1 to 10. They like want to know everything. Mm-hmm. And then they like get afraid and then protect. So it's such a, thank you so much for sharing those stories, because I know so many people that I've come across like are scared, and even myself. So often I was just so scared, landed up in the wrong career, landed up doing the wrong thing. Even as small as it is, like if you feel like, for instance, for the listeners to understand how small this can go, like even if there's a conversation that is playing off in your head with your mother or your father, like pick up the phone and have the conversation. Or like if you feel like you want to do this type of exercise this morning, then just go do that, because that's kind of like the universal message just plopping into your head to say, yes, do this. So if you listen to this podcast, it's probably the universal message to learn how to do breath work.
Amen.
We've got to do it. So what are the, for all those scientists out there, as they are scouring the internet and probably listening to this right now, what are kind of the scientific benefits, or not even scientific benefits, the physiological benefits, the emotional benefits to the actual act of breath work?
overall, one of the main things that's happening with breathwork is we're releasing things that have been stuck inside of us. Humans are so bad at letting go. If you see an animal in the wild, it has an intense situation. Once it moves through that situation, it lets go. Humans, we have one conversation that bothers us, and we're like, I'm going to hold on to that for 10 years. I'm going to hold on to it emotionally. I'm actually going to store some of it in my left shoulder as physical tension. And I'm also going to replay it as a conversation in my mind every few months for the next 10 years. We're so bad at being able to just have a situation and then let it go. We store things. And this is part of our reptilian brain trying to help us survive. It's like, okay, if there's something that makes us feel unsafe, we're going to remember it so that we can try to avoid it in the future. But if we're trying to live from a more evolved space where we know that we're not just survival mode creatures, then it's important that we learn how to let go of physical tension, let go of suppressed emotions, let go of thoughts that have been on loop in our neural pathways so that we can expand, grow, move forward. So at a scientific level, that's what's happening at all of those different levels. At a physical level, when we lower our CO2 levels with this breath work, we are able to, it's like we're removed. I'll keep it some basic lingo. I won't go too deep into the biochemistry, but we're removing the compensation that our higher CO2 levels had that hid those physical tensions from us. And it's like our body does a scan of our physical body to where we might be holding any stuck tension, any physical trauma. And our awareness is brought to that place. And then we're able to release it either through physical tremor or through movement. We're able to release that physical tension. So very often people will come to a breathwork session and say, I've had tension in my hips for years and I was just able to release it. Or I had trauma from a rock climbing accident, and after this breathwork session, I feel like I've released that physical trauma. So we're releasing physical tension that we've been holding in our body. We're releasing suppressed emotions. As I mentioned before, our limbic brain is being stimulated, and that's the seat of our emotions. And so if we have any emotion, whether it's sadness, anger, sometimes even joy, we have suppressed joy. Again, it's like our body will do a scan. Oh, where are the suppressed emotions? Our awareness will be brought to that. Boom, volcano erupts. Up and out come those suppressed emotions, and they move through us. And then at a mental level, our brain waves are slowing down from beta, where most of us spend most of the day just outward facing, completely disconnected from our inner world. We slow down from beta into alpha, sometimes even to theta in the breathwork session. And we're able to see thoughts moving through our own subconscious mind that we wouldn't have been aware of before. And that's what happened in my first breathwork session. I was like, oh my gosh, I do not like who I am. I am so self-conscious, but that was happening at a subconscious level. So I didn't even know that. So in a breathwork session, we can connect to that subconscious mind, understand what thoughts have actually been running the show, and then decide a more expanded thought that we want to bring in instead. So just at those few levels, that's what's happening. And now I also want to make clear to all of the scientists out there listening that science has not caught up with the depth of why breathwork is so powerful.
Yeah.
Science cannot explain all of it. And I know this because I've studied, I've taken courses, like legitimate courses from universities on breathwork and the biochemistry of breathwork. And none of the professors had answers. Why do we have such spiritual experiences in breathwork? Mm. Why do we connect to loved ones that have passed over? Mm. Science does not yet know. So we also need to leave room for science to catch up with the power that is breathwork.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's a safety mechanism within a lot of people wanting to know that it's going to work for them before they do it, you know, almost like medication. Yeah. Well, this medication promises you this. That's all you need to tell the person, and they will take that without the side effects. And the cool thing is, like I always say with body work and breath work and anything, that there isn't too much of a scientific explanation to the benefits. It's like, what have you got to lose? You know, like just a couple of minutes in your day of deep breathing. Like that's, you know, like, and there's so much upside because there are so, there's just so many stories. I mean, your stories, and there's so many people out in the world. And luckily it's getting onto big stages now, you know, athletes are using it and it really does power you. And one of the things that I absolutely love, and I always say the person that I've always thought that has brought breathwork to the masses, in my opinion, unintentionally so, was someone I would like Tony Robbins. He has advocated for 40 years. The man has advocated that, like, he always gives this example of, like, if you're stressed, what's your breathing rate like? You know, if you're calm and happy, what's your breathing rate like? And that, it always stuck in my mind. I'm like, when I'm stressed, I'm like, okay, let's just slow down the breath. Let's just see how it goes. And I probably, my technique is probably terrible. Like whatever I do, I try and, you know, YouTube this and Instagram this person.
Hey, it works. It works for you. That's what's most important. Like you just said.
it's crazy. And that's without like the, like a method, like you have, I'm guessing you've put together a very specific method. now if we take all the physiological and emotional benefits, there is obviously, well, I do know this, but maybe you can explain the different types, not necessarily explaining the types of breathwork, but how there are different types of breathwork to stimulate different emotional responses or different physiological responses.
What, can I ask more specifically what you're asking within that? Because there are so many different types of breathwork. Are there a few that you have in mind?
So, yeah. So like a lot of people will be like, well, breathwork, like I can do breathwork to wake up instead of take coffee, or there's breathwork, like, you know, like, or it's like, how can I calm down? Like, is it all the same kind of breathwork, same mechanic, or are you focusing on different parts of the body, or how are you, how are you deciding on what type of breathwork you use in order to stimulate, say, like happiness, sadness, trauma responses, whatever the case?
Yeah. So because our breath is so central to the way our body operates, both with our nervous system and our biochemistry, the way that we alter our breathing will have a very specific effect on our biochemistry and on our nervous system. And so people have found ways to manipulate the breath in a way that gets a very specific response for them. So for example, you're like, okay, I want to have a morning breath practice where I feel very awake. So people would probably use a very rapid breath, perhaps like a breath of fire, and that will stimulate the sympathetic nervous system and we'll be able to get going. Some people might want to have a breathwork practice that calms them down. And so they might do the opposite. They might use a very slow breath. Some people might use, and I don't even know, you know, people are taking it in all different directions now. You know, when you meet people, they have so many different breathwork styles. But my favorite way to use breathwork is a way that opens us up to ourselves. So the breathwork style that I use isn't trying to get a specific result. It's just connecting us into ourselves. Because whatever's there will be there. If we're not stimulated in the morning, why? Why am I not stimulated in the morning? Yeah. Why do I feel I need coffee? I don't want to just replace my coffee with a breath of fire. I want to understand why I'm not feeling energized in the morning. Mm. And so let me go into my inner world. Is there some sort of block there? Oh, yes, there is. Wow. I'm actually subtly depressed and I didn't even know it. Okay. How can I move through that depression? Bam, now I don't even need anything to stimulate myself in the morning because I removed that block. So that's the
I mean,
the
this style is this is hu- this I is practice. Huge. This is so huge because a lot of people that are maybe not breathwork facilitators like yourself, but are in the wellness game or whatever game they're in, and they're helping with breathwork. It's focusing on getting energy in the morning. Or focusing on calming down with anxiety. And I'm so happy you brought this to the surface because just this week, I mentioned something on Instagram to the effect of, if you want a louder alarm clock or you're focusing on your alarm clock and you're still tired in the morning, don't focus on that morning, focus on getting to bed earlier. It's like there's always another side of what's happening. Do you ever know when you're facilitating someone? Do you ever know, like, do you have like a quite a strong intuitive call to like what is actually up with them, or do you like sense from their breathing, or how can you analyze that situation?
So I definitely have cultivated my own intuitive capacities, and it still blows my mind sometimes being in a session with somebody and I'll be like, oh yeah, of course, this is the block, this is what's happening, this is what needs to move. However, I don't let my intuition lead the way, because the whole beauty of breathwork is that that individual gets to experience it for themselves and their intuition leads the way. And that's one of my favorite things about being a breathwork facilitator, is I'm not coming in being like, I am an all-knowing healer. I will come in, I will find your blocks and I will clear them for you. And then you will need to come to me. I hold all of the power.
Yeah.
If you ever have a problem, you've got to come to me. It's not like that at all. It's like people have their minds blown by how intuitive they are. I did a session last week for somebody that he works in finance, had never done breathwork in his life, didn't identify as spiritual, didn't identify as even into wellness. And I did this session for him, and he was saying all of these things. He's like, oh my goodness, this is why I've been blocked, this is the path that I need to follow. And he blew his own mind by how intuitive he was in that moment. And I just had the biggest smile on my face. I was like, now you're connected in.
Yeah.
Once you're connected in, there's no going back.
Now you can't get out. You're in the matrix.
Yeah. Exactly.
Did you do that online or did you do that in person?
In person. But I do them online all the time.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. So is there a difference in the power generated as you leading someone through their breathwork journey online versus in person?
Absolutely. And I wouldn't say it's necessarily better or worse, but there's no denying that being in the physical presence of somebody shifts the situation.
Mm.
No denying that. So yes, it is different to do a breathwork session in person. And that is my favorite thing to do, because real life, gotta love it. But you can also do breathwork online. Mm-hmm. And because breathwork also works at an energetic level, it doesn't matter if you're in the room with them or not.
Yeah.
And because the breath is in their body, it doesn't matter if I'm in the room, they're still breathing.
Yeah. And who says you're not in the room if you're on a screen? I think the depth of that question is more leading into how safe is it for a newbie to start a breathwork practice without actually understanding the fundamentals you can get online, I suppose, but without having that guidance, that physical guidance of someone.
I always recommend being guided by somebody when you're getting into breathwork for the first time, whether it is being guided by somebody online or in person. I always recommend it, because it can open doors inside of us that we might not have opened before. And I think humans deserve to feel supported in their processes, not just like they're being thrown off the deep end and figure it out. Online breathwork can be, I think it is becoming controversial now. I know that some people are really standing up for not even doing breathwork online. But those tend to be people that really work with the nervous system in breathwork. And they really want people to feel safe in their nervous system in person when doing breathwork.
Can you explain that a little bit more?
Which part?
Like the controversy around that? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, some breathwork facilitators that work specifically with the nervous system, they don't want people to feel like they might have nervous system trauma come up and then feel alone in that trauma.
Okay.
And then feel like they're unsupported, because that can be very scary for people. If they're alone in their room and they have some sort of trauma come up and there's nobody there to support them through that. So that's the controversy.
What would the simple tip there be to sit with the emotions and just ride it out?
The simple tip for the person that's
like
doing the breathing?
Heavier stuff is coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And also to, it's all about feeling safe. So it's bringing yourself to a place of safety, whatever that might be. How can that person feel safe in that moment? Sometimes it's maybe, and this is when I started doing breath work, I would do it with friends.
Yeah.
You know, lay down and do it with a friend next to you, because that can make you feel safe, or being in a space that makes you feel safe, mm-hmm. or opening your eyes if you need to, and just mm-hmm. remind yourself, hey, I'm in this room right now, I'm safe. So it's mm-hmm. all about just feeling safe. But then again, for those breathwork facilitators that work at that deep nervous system level, they want to do that in person, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody has a different style of breathwork.
Yeah, of course. I mean, breathwork is multifaceted. It's not just one category. So that's also what I want listeners to hear. It's it goes in many different directions. We don't say we just eat food. We say we eat this food and this food and this food, you know? And it's like, please be aware of that, so that we all have different journeys, different blockages, different emotional blockages. Different things are going to come up. And I think it's also important, I know on this personal growth journey that I've been on, it's a system of going with the person that you resonate with most, you know? So it's like you resonate with Victoria, then that's where you're going to go deep, you know? And if you have that calling, don't back away from that. Like, go deep.
Yes. Right. And we can trust ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's a huge part of it, isn't it? Trusting ourselves. Mm-hmm. If I resonate to do breath work with Victoria and I'm ready to go deep, trust myself, mm-hmm. trust my body. I can go mm-hmm. deep.
Yeah. What do you find is the biggest blockage that you have seen in your many, many people that you have guided and worked with very closely? What is the commonality? Because I'm sure maybe you're seeing a commonality in the last 2 years specifically, mm-hmm. But I'd love to know.
In general, the biggest thing I see is that people have a skewed self-image. They see themselves as lesser than, for whatever reason. They don't see themselves as the powerful, capable, lovable individuals that they are. They have collected some reason along the way as to why they are not good enough, powerful enough, capable enough. That is the number one block that I see across the board.
And is that from programming now, when they were kids, do you find? Or is the environment or society at a whole, or is it a whole combination?
It's a whole combination. It's of their parents' lack of capacity to instill that sense of wholeness in them. It's in society's way of telling us constantly that we need to be more successful, be more, you know, have more money, have created something cooler. It's just this message constantly being sent at us. It takes a lot of energy to realize that it's not true.
Yeah.
But then what I was going to say is there's another theme that I've seen just since the pandemic context has happened, is an intense amount of anxiety and feeling unsure about life. Like, this climate has just been screaming at people, you're not safe. You're never safe. You, like, don't feel too comfortable. You don't know what's going to happen next, at a subconscious level. And so when I've been running breathwork workshops and private sessions recently, there's just so much anxiety that gets released from the body.
Yeah. And I think, and we do know that a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress also decreases the immune system. And then inevitably, that's potentially why we are getting more sick or getting infected, you know. I can safely say I've traveled this entire world. No, not entire world, but 7 countries in the last 2 years. And I try not to wear a mask as much as possible. And I have not been vaccinated. And I say that not because I'm against vaccination, but because I'm against for myself. And I'm all for community. So I hug and I shake hands. Mm-hmm. And I'm like all in people's grills. And I've never been sick. And for what reason, I don't know. Maybe I've got a strong immune system. Maybe it's my plant-based diet, whatever the case is. But one thing I've been very strict with is setting boundaries and not allowing the fear to get into my nervous system. And the fear comes from very few sources, but they are everywhere. And it's things like the news and strong opinions, even friends that have very strong opinions. How have you navigated this?
Well, I'm in the same situation as you, what you just described, not being sick, but not following a lot of the recommended things. I've navigated it. One, I reconciled my own fear of death because I was like, okay, Victoria, what is it that this fear actually is? People are so afraid of dying, right? Stay in your home. Don't leave your home. Don't talk to people. Don't do anything or else you might die. So I was like, how bad would that really be to die? Not that bad. It's going to come anyway. I want to live a full life. I don't want to live in fear of death. So throughout the past couple years, I did really reconcile my own fear of death and just let that go. And so that's opened up so much freedom inside of me. And then beyond that, I, as you said, I have very strong boundaries. So I, with my morning breath practice, I connect into how I want to feel. What do I believe in? What does Victoria stand for? Not the rest of the world. I connect into that. And then as I move throughout the day, if stuff is coming into my field that doesn't resonate with that, I make sure to check back in with me. Okay, how do I feel about this? And if I need to have a conversation with somebody, it's like, yo, please stop sending me stuff, then I'll have that conversation. Or sometimes I don't need to say, please stop sending me stuff. Sometimes I'll just say how I feel. Like friends being like, oh my goodness, you're traveling. Aren't you afraid that you're going to get COVID? Like all of that. And I'll just write back, no, I trust my body. You know? I don't even need to have the conversation that's like, please stop saying all this. I'll just send back. And that, boom, that holds so much weight and so much power. Or my family, aren't you going to get vaccinated? You know, we're really worried about you. Just sending a message over that's like, you do not need to worry about me. I'm an adult and I'm making my choice. I love you. Boom.
And we are all responsible for our own choices. It's not like coming from a place of like, I want to be irresponsible. But I think everyone's got the same motive, right? In the last 2 years, everyone wants to be healthy. They're just taking different methodologies and routes and they believe different things. And I genuinely believe the core of the entire world, the entire history has come to light in the last 2 years. And it's this thing of seeing others as others. It's like, you've got a different opinion, so I'm going to hate on you. You know, if I've got a different opinion, I'm not going to get loved. And it's so true, man. And we have to tap into like being, in inverted commas, like selfish, so we can be selfless and really try and find who we are. And breathwork is maybe everyone's step one in the right direction.
It's an amazing step. If people are feeling called to take it, it's an amazing step. It connects us into ourselves and makes us in some ways unshakable in the face of whatever's going on in the world. Because when we're deeply connected into who we are, what we stand for, nothing can actually penetrate that. No matter what government policies try to say, no matter what opinions other people have, when we're connected into who we are, nothing can touch that.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I've got another question, actually, just before we round up here. And that is, what is the power of diets? Because I know you're vegan, almost a vegan for a couple of years now. What have you found the power of diet to be along with breath work? And maybe I'll preface it with, I've always believed that the cleaner this vessel is, the more that we can transmute cleaner energy. But what's your stance on particular diets and personal growth?
I eat a diet that feels most vital for me. Vital, alive, healthy, light. And that is a vegan diet. That's what resonates with me personally. And when we eat in a way that allows us to feel vital and healthy and alive, then we're already more connected to ourselves. So when we use a practice like breath work, there aren't as many layers of letting go physically or emotionally to get inside. So yes, eating a diet that feels really vital does help us with that. I know that it's a complicated topic. There are so many, everybody's so different. I do support the vegan diet, and it works so well for me and so many people I know. And at the end of the day, I think it's everybody's journey to find what diet does feel right for them.
It's the word complication is so ripe right now. I think we all just try and complicate so many things. And the best things for our personal health, our emotional health, our physical health is literally free or very cheap. But we try and go to the grocery store or supermarkets, try and find these like products in boxes that are so super expensive. And it's, you know, it's like, it can be as simple as just going to the fresh produce section, like just buy Whole Foods. Breath work, it's like, if you can't afford a course, which you're going to get a discount later from Victoria, so you can afford it, but like, if you can't afford it, there's like YouTube, it's free. It's like, you know, like get out into nature, it's free. It's like, just tap into the joy. Like, we don't have to find it into a fancy superfood powder. And if you can't afford that, then go ahead.
Oh, those fancy superfood butters, they get expensive, don't they?
Yeah, geez.
But yeah, it's it's true. It's finding what's yes. I mean, vitality is our natural state. Vitality is the planet's natural state. So as you said, getting out into nature, going to a park, even if you live in a city, find like a patch of grass and just connect to it, take some breaths. I completely agree. Finding the vitality that's already accessible all around us.
That's amazing. And so how can people find you? And I know you've also got a generous 25% discount for your new breathwork course that's coming up.
Hmm. So in terms of finding me, I'm most active on Instagram, Victoria_Bauman. And I did just create a breathwork space. I, of course, am very passionate about this being a tool of our times that I want as many people as possible to have access to. So I've created an online space in a community where together we do a breathwork journey every single month. And then we set intentions of what we're working on that month. And then we also use a daily breath practice. And we hold each other accountable to using that breath practice every day. And my favorite thing about the community is it's a community of expanders. People that are just curious, hey, where can I take my life next? What can I push the boundaries of next using my breath? So that is now live. Woohoo! It's www.breath.life. And as you said, I have a 25% off discount code for your people, and it's OYL25.
Awesome. I'll put all of these links and everything in the show notes, everyone. I'm super excited. Thank you so much for sharing your journey and just your energetic body. It's so pure. It's so infectious. It's beautiful. I'm so excited for people to experience your journey through Instagram, where everyone experiences everyone's journey nowadays. and I hope the world calms down a bit so that you can get into live retreats, because, man, I'd love to come to one of your retreats that you're going to run around the world. But I know there can't be any plans yet.
1 week at a time.
Yeah.
Surrendered. Yes.
I love that.
Well, thank you for bringing me here. Thank you for sharing this work with your people. To everybody listening, I hope that you either have a breathwork practice already or you feel curious now to explore it for yourself.
That's amazing. Thanks so much.
Yeah.